Yahweh shows up. And I just want to tell you something. Today is really awesome because I didn't tell DC what I was preaching about. I try not to tell him. That way if the music corresponds with it, we know that it was God. Well, this whole service is about how great God is. Very powerful. Let's go sing that one more time. Come on, sing it.
How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. Oh, we'll sing how great is our God.
Come on, sing with me, how great is our God. Oh, we'll see how great is our God. Awesome. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. God is so, so awesome. How great is our God? Wow. Wow. I want you to turn to Psalm 84.
Thank you.
Psalm 84. Let's see here. Let's see. Okay. This was going to be, again, going to be a one-shot deal. And as usual, it didn't. The more I studied it, the more powerful it got. And so we're going to hit part of it today. First, let me tell you this. And I'm going to go ahead and put this up here for you. I'm going to put it up on the board so you can get your Bible out if you want to, or you can read it off of there. But let me just tell you about this. There was an old West fort. It was about to be attacked. The wily old general sent his trusty Sioux scout before him. He said, "You must use all your 30 years of skill in trying to estimate the sort of army that we're up against." So the trusty scout laid down, put his ear to the ground. "Large war party," he said. "Maybe 300 braves, 4 chiefs, 2 on black stallions, 2 of white stallions, all have war paint, many, many guns, medicine men also with them." "Good grief," exclaimed the general. "You can tell all that by listening to the ground?" "No," replied the Indian. "I can see under the gate." All right, we're going to look under the gate today, okay? Get ready, we're going to look under the gate. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word. But you can look up here, Psalm 84, but you can look on up here, and then bring it out for you here, and then we'll, unless you want to look it up, either way. "How admirable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yet even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars. O Lord of hosts, my King and my God, blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee, Salah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, and whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appear before God." Let's pray. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace, your mercy. I thank you, God, for all you do for us, Lord. I thank you, God, that we're never alone. We're never by ourselves. That you're always with us, Lord. There's a lot of many unanswered questions. And, Lord, there's some very powerful challenges in our life every week, every day, sometimes every hour. But, God, you're more than enough to meet every challenge. And we thank you, God, for what you're showing us, what you're telling us, and how you're going to handle this. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we give this day to you, knowing that you got this. In the name of Jesus, we pray, and the church said, amen. Everybody give the Lord a hand clap of praise, and you can be seated. The Valley of Baca. And here it is, watch this. Sometimes you got to go through to go up. Think about it. Sometimes you have to go through something to go up. We love to live on the mountaintop all the time. Let me tell you something about the mountaintop. If your whole life is nothing but sunshine, you know what you will soon get? A desert. A life of pure sunshine is nothing but a desert. And to a child of God is nothing but a spoiled child of God. I don't want to be a spoiled child of God. I don't want to spoil, I never spoiled my children. I spoiled them with love, but I made sure they were still knew what to do and how to do it. Amen. Discipline could be discipline without hurting somebody. Amen. Let's look at this in another version, New Living Translation. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of Heaven's armies. Wow. I love the way he puts that in the translation. I long, yes, I faint with longing to enter the courts of the Lord. Now, David's on the run. David says, God, I want to be with you. I know things are tough right now, but if I could just get with you, things are going to be awesome. How many times have you said, if I can just get to you, God, if I can just get to the house of the Lord, things will be better. With my whole being, body, and soul, I will shout joyfully to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home and the swallow builds her nest and raises her young in a place near your altar. O Lord of heaven's armies, my King and my God, whose joy for those who can live in your house, always singing your praises. Interlude, what joy for those whose strength comes from the Lord, who has set their minds on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. When they walk through the valley of weeping, it will become a place of refreshing springs. Now, let's just stop there for a minute. Watch this. What joy for those who live in your house, always singing your praises. What joy for those whose strength comes from the Lord, who have their minds set on the pilgrimage to Jerusalem. He's talking about they're on the way to Jerusalem. They're not there yet. They're on their way. There's a difference in being there and being on the way. Okay? Now, when they walk through the valley of weeping, watch that. When they walk through the valley of weeping, it will become a place of refreshing springs. The autumn rains will clothe it with blessings. They will continue to grow stronger, and each of them will appear before God in Jerusalem. Now again, I really had a long ways to go with this today, and I said, no, I just want to stop, park here about God's house. So let's just talk about God's house for a minute, the place of the tabernacle. Now, just think about this thing. It's good to be in the house of God today. And again, D.C. did not know as we talked about how great God was and talking about being in his house. And all of the songs filtered right in to the message today. First off, the place of great beauty and his well-beloved. Said, how admirable are their tabernacles. Write down this word, devoted. Devoted. Let me ask you a question. Here's a good one. Y'all get ready. Don't throw anything. If you throw vegetables, make sure they're real vegetables, not canned. How many come to the Lord's house today because you're devoted to Him? How many come today because you love Him and you can't wait to be amongst His people? You can't wait to worship Him with everybody. We can worship on our own, yes, but when we get together, there's something special that happens. And so again, you can either come to church out of devotion or you come to church because it is a job. It is a necessity. You're just getting here to keep your spouse's mouth shut. You're here because it's the thing to do. I promise you, if that's why you came, you're not going to get anything out of it. But if you're devoted to God, and remember how lovely it is to be in God's house. How lovely it is to worship an almighty God. Look, God's looking for those that are devoted to Him. The Bible says perfect love casteth out all fear. You want to overcome the fear in your life. Get devoted to God. Fall in love with Him all over again. So first, it's a place of great beauty and it is well beloved. Secondly, it's a place where we desire and worship. It says, my heart longeth and it fainteth. My flesh crieth out. Now write the word down, desire. I was so bad to be in God's house. You know, I think about so many times. There were Sundays I couldn't be here when Bethany was sick. And I'd be with her. And I would be right there and be right by her side. You know, it was cool. It was fine. That's where I needed to be. But I'd say it would really be nice if we could just be in God's house worshiping God. Man, would it be awesome. And think about it. How many, this is your desire to be here. You know, COVID, believe it or not, COVID has halted a lot of devotion. And COVID has halted a lot of desire. Because I said, I'm scared to go because I'm going to catch something. And now things are lifting. Things are getting better. There's all kinds of immunizations. And we got all kinds of shots. But there's some people that's already estimated that 50%, 50% of the church will never step foot back in the door. Because, not just because of COVID, being afraid of COVID, but they've been without it for so long that it got out of their system. And so they can do better, they think, without being there. But you know what? It's my desire to be in God's house. It's my desire. I'm devoted to Him. Why? Because He's devoted to us. Even though COVID may have shut down churches and COVID has shut down so much, it never shut down God. God was always there. God is always ready to do what He's going to do. I kind of think it's kind of awesome. You know, I don't know exactly what that sign is right here, but when I opened up my communion cup, it had two wafers. I didn't know if the Lord was telling me I needed a double dose. Son, you so honor, you got a double dip? Or because this has never happened, ever. But today, when I was talking about how sweet it was to be in God's house, wow. And I open up my communion and get a second wafer. Wow, just something about that. It'll hit later, but right now, that's just very awesome to me. And then, nesting and sacrifice. It says, yet the sparrow hath found a house, and the sparrow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young and even thine altars. Now write develop. So we got devoted. I'm here because I'm devoted. I'm here because I have a desire. And I'm here because I want God to develop me. I'm 62 years old. And you know what? If you look at the riches of God and the wisdom of God, at 62, I haven't even touched. When I was in my early years, my granddaddy at 60 years old, I thought he knew everything. And what he didn't know, my grandmama did. And now I'm 62 and realize I think I know less now than I did when I was like that. Amen. Well, you know what? I want God to develop me. There's plenty of growth available. You never come to a place where you don't grow in God. Amen? So think of those words, a devoted, desire, and develop. Now we're going to get another word. Get ready? Continuance in glory. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will still be praising thee, Salah. Now look, Satan will use COVID and all the other things to keep you out of God's house. It's amazing to me, over the years, I've had people tell me, I'm not kidding. I can't make it to church. I'm too sick to go to church. And I get in my car and they pass me on the way to town because they're on the way to McDonald's. I feel too bad to be in church. When I go to Walmart, who's in line behind me? So you felt too bad to go to church, but not to go to Walmart, not to go to McDonald's. What it is Satan tries to keep us out of house. Now, there's time we're sick. Don't get me wrong. I love Facebook for that. I love it. If you're not feeling good, don't show up. We don't want what you got. I promise you, I don't want you coughing on me. I promise I don't want you coughing on me. I can cough up enough without you coughing on me. And I promise you, if you're not feeling good, stay home. Watch us on Facebook. That's not what I'm talking about. That's what Facebook is about. But when you become spiritual lazy, that's the hard part. When you become spiritual lazy. So watch this. Look. Dominate. I want God to dominate. Write the word dominate. I want God to dominate my life. And when God dominates my life, then guess what? Some awesome things take place. It's amazing what will take place. And then one more. I told you, I'm not going to keep you real long today, I don't think. Every time I tell you that, I keep you for an hour. blessing and strength. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, whose hearts are the ways of them. Now write determined. God, I'm determined. I'm determined to do it your way. In a world that they're trying to keep us from doing it your way, in a world where they're trying to teach our little bitty kids stuff that they don't need to be knowing, it just drives me wild when I see all this stuff that's going around in this world today. But you know what? I'm still determined to do it God's way. So now, that's the place of the tabernacle. Then there's the path of the tabernacle. Once you see that now, God's city was situated on a hill. And because it was situated on a hill, it was surrounded by valleys. That's the good news and the bad news. The good news is it's on a hill. The bad news is there's valleys all around it. So the only way to go to Jerusalem was, we just read it in Psalm 84, is to go through these valleys in order to get to God's people. Turn with me to Luke chapter 7. This just came to me a little while ago, and I'm pretty sure it connects some way, somehow. Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. Verse 11. And it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain. And many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people in the city were with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said unto her, weep not. And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. Verse 4, look where he met her. She was at the gate. You couldn't bury people in the town of Jerusalem. You had to take it outside the city. And to go outside the city, you had to go down. And so she was on her way down to the graveyard, on her way down. She was getting ready to go through the valley. But Jesus had already gone through the valley and was on his way up. And so while she was on her way down, Jesus was on his way up. And he touched that bier, and he raised that son from the dead. That's an amazing thing. Some of us today, we think we're on our way down, but if we'll trust God, God can do something very special for us. And again, I don't know who that's for, but somebody needs to think about it. You feel like you're on your way down, but remember, Jesus is on his way up, and Jesus will take care of you. So now, watch this. Jerusalem is surrounded by valleys. Ready? There's three valleys that surround Jerusalem. The first valley is the Valley of Rephaim. The Valley of Rephaim, that means shadows. It's the Valley of the Giants. That's what it's called, the Valley of the Giants. And if you look in the Greek, not only is it the Valley of the Giants, it also means to stitch or to heal. So sometimes we have to go through the Valley of Shadows to get to the house of God. We've got to go through, before we can get to that pinnacle God wants us, we've got to go through the Valley of Rephaim, not realizing, now watch this, God's dominating me. I've got a desire to serve him. God is developing me, and I'm determined to let God touch me. So as I'm going through the Valley of Giants, it may be like giants, and I feel like I'm being taken down, but it's in that area, God's stitching me and healing me and doing something great with me. The next valley is the Valley of Hinnom. Now, Hinnom is actually, the valleys of Hinnom is one of the Old Testament names for hell. Did you know that? The Valley of Hinnom is one of the Old Testament Hebrew names for hell because it was the trash heap. When somebody was crucified and nobody claimed the body, guess where the bodies went? Here. And they were burnt. Guess where people's trash went? Here. And it was burnt. So when you go through there, it's a trash heap that's burning. And guess what? Because the fires never went out, because the trash never stopped, the dead folks never ceased to be put out there in the Valley of Hinnom. Guess what? Sometimes we go through the valley of wailing. And we look all around us, and all we see is death. And we think, is that going to be us? But remember, we're going through. We're going through it, not to it. Through it, not to it. God's got something special on the other side. And then finally, the Valley of Baca. Now, these aren't getting these heavy next week, but this is just for today. It's the Valley of Weeping. That's where you feel trapped and you feel in despair. But guess what? Look, I'm determined. I'm letting God develop me. I desire Him. I'm letting God dominate me. I'm letting God lead me. So if I have to go through the valley of shadows, the valley of wailing, the valley of weeping, if I feel trapped like I can't do anything about it, if I see death all around me, if I feel like I'm being torn all to pieces by the giants, I know because my desire is for God and to be developed by God, something special is happening. Although I can't see it on the outside, something on the inside is taking place. So now, watch this. Y'all read that with me. Faith is not immune to trials. It is fueled by trials. Y'all say that again. Y'all say it. Woo! Y'all sounded good. Do it again. Y'all sound like y'all getting it. Amen? So watch this. It's necessary to go through Baca. Look, when we get to Jerusalem, we find His presence, we find His power, we find His praise, and we find His position. But there can be no Jerusalem without valleys. Remember, if your life is nothing but sunshine, then your life's going to be a desert. You gotta have the valleys. They've got to be there. So watch this. I love this. Yeah, let's get Psalm 23 out. Psalm 23. I'll wait for you. And yes, it's the Old Testament. I was in Bible college, and the professor said, David, read for us from the book of Matthew. And I said, is that Old Testament or New Testament? Yeah, he didn't laugh. Not a bit. Okay. Look at there. He did sweet. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. That kind of reminds me. I was asked DC one day when he was a little bitty boy. The family was all over eating, and I said, y'all watch this. DC can say the blessing. I said, DC, say the blessing. He was mad. Man, he was mad. I said, DC, say the blessing here. I said, DC, say the blessing. And he went, I said, boy, do I have to get up from this table? Now say the blessing. And he said, Father, I thank you that you prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, watch this. When you're in the valley, sometimes when we're in the valley, we're thinking that it's a bad thing. We're thinking that there's some rough stuff going on with us. We hate that we're in the valley. You may be in the valley. There's something's going on in your life that you don't like. I promise you there's things going on in my life I don't like. Okay? I don't like arthritis. Y'all like arthritis? Anybody like arthritis? And I don't like his cousin Bertha. Bursitis. I don't like that the older I get, the better I was. I don't like that I've buried some real good friends of mine in the last couple of weeks. I don't like it. But you know what? Watch this. In the valley, the Bible says He restores my soul. Let me just tell you about this. And you hear me talk about it all the time. The sheep, when they're in the valley, either their wool will get wet because of the dew on the ground, or they'll get wet because the rain, there's been a storm, and the sheep gets wet and they're heavy with wool. And sometimes it's just that they've ate too much. But either way about it, the sheep, when the wool gets too heavy, or maybe they've eaten too much, they will fall on their back. And when a sheep falls on its back, it can't do a thing about it. Matter of fact, the sheep will literally lay on its back, fill up with gases, and eventually it will, inside will blow up. It'll die. And so the shepherd sees this sheep laying on its back, knowing that it can't move. And so the shepherd gently goes to the sheep, picks it up, and sets it back on its feet. Some of us in here right now, you're in the valley. And because of storms in your life, or because of unseen circumstances, you're on your back. And you can't get back up. And if you don't soon get some relief, you're going to feel like you're just going to blow up. God, you got to do something for me. It's in the valley. Psalm 23 says, He restores my soul. Why? Because in the valley we have His presence. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He's with me. He's with me. I don't have to wonder. I've got His presence. I've got His presence. I've got His power. Because it says He restores my soul. He reaches down and picks me up and puts me back on my feet. And not only that, but you've got His promise. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For Thou art with me, Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God's got you. DC, come on up here. God's got you. God's got you. God's got you. Everybody stand. We're going to stop right here. And next week we're going to talk about what you're going to do when you get in the valley. We're just getting started. Just getting started. I don't want to go any further. In the valley, He restores my soul. Wow. Everybody standing, every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around. First, let me ask, with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you have actually lost or are losing that desire to be in God's house, and you're losing that desire to praise God, now you're just serving out of obligation. You're not serving because you love Him. That's a very dangerous place to be. Because it's at that place the Laodicean church is going to be. They're going through the mechanics, through the motions. He said, you left your first love. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm talking to you today. Just be honest. You find yourself losing that desire to be in God's house. You find the more obligation than you are anything else. And maybe you just realize how dangerous this is. Maybe you haven't realized it's a very dangerous place to be. Can you stick up that hand and say, pray for me, Pastor. I really, really, really want to get my desire back. I want to get my desire back. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. I want my desire back. Maybe you're here and you're like that little sheep. You've been through storms. And you've been toppled. You're trying to get to Jerusalem, but you can't even get out of the valley. Because in that valley, you're stuck. You're upside down. You've lost your footing. And you desperately want to get back on your feet again so you can climb up and get to the city of God. Satan will tell you that it's over. Nothing can be done. Accept it. You'll never get on your feet again. That's a lie. God's got you. And if you let the shepherd do it, the shepherd will go down and he'll pick you up and put you back up on your feet and set you back upright. So you can go through the valley and get to the city of God. If I'm talking to you right now, you feel like you've been hit below the belt. You're laying on your back and you're really desperately wanting to get back on your feet and get to the city of God. Would you just stick that hand up quickly? Bless them, Lord. Bless them. Bless them. Bless them. Bless them. Bless them, Father. God, there's something special going on in here. I don't know what it is, and I really wanted to go a lot further than this today, but I really felt like you said stop it right here, so here's the stopping point. Let's all pray together. Let's pray out loud. Father, I love you. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you, God, for your wonderful house. God, I thank you, Lord, that we have a place that we can collectively worship together. Help me, Lord, to have that desire to be with my brothers and sisters with that collective faith and see you move. And Father, I rededicate myself to you and I thank you for that. And Lord, everybody pray this. Lord, there's been some storms and these storms have knocked me off my feet and I need you to set me back up. You said you'd make my feet like hinds' feet so I can tread upon my high places. I ask you right now, Lord, to pick me up, to set me back up. Help me get through this valley so I can get to the city of God. And I thank you for it. Lord, you're awesome. There's no one like you. And I thank you for what you do for us. Lord, in the name of Jesus, minister. And we thank you for it. Amen.